in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 174 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well.
You sure?
I am.
Just checking out your Fitbit again.
Yeah.
What model one is that then?
Mine's a Surge.
A Surge? Ooh. Yeah. My mum's got one, it's about half the... It's narrow, yeah. The narrow one.
Yeah, this one is things like...
What does this do that one doesn't?
My emails, as they come up and on the phone, so I can and scroll back through the day, seeing all the emails I've had.
Blimey. Emails on your wrist, eh?
Yeah.
The future is here, isn't it?
Right here, right now.
How many steps have you done today, then?
I've had a bad day today because I've been...
Just answer the question.
No, I'm justifying. I'm justifying. Because I've been in clinic in the hospital, so I've only done 5,662 steps.
Okay.
And I should be doing 10,000, really.
How many... If you go once around the block here, how many is that, do you know?
I'd have to go around the block two or three times, probably.
Really?
And I've only done 3.95 kilometres, you see. So I should do a minimum of five.
Does it tell the time as well?
Occasionally. No, you can change the... I can have a real face with...
What's your heart rate as well, just out of interest?
I haven't got that turned on. But my resting heart rate is about 55, 57.
That's good, that, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
For your age.
Cheeky bastard. It's from my running, see.
Ah, okay. Mine's actually quite a bit higher than that, my resting heartbeat, I think.
Before I started running, it was about 73. And then once I've been running for a bit, it came down. 55 went up to about 60 when I stopped running. And then we're doing all this Fitbit stuff, it's gone back down again.
You've got the heart rate of a blue whale, haven't you?
Do blue whales make that noise?
I don't think so.
Whoosh!
It's a mammal.
That was a guy, blue cow. Okay.
Right, this is the Self-Help Podcast. Quick reminder, though.
Who am I?
Are still listening, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. This week we're talking about the naysayers, how to kind of...
When you say naysayers, it sounds like a pirate. Like,
naysayers, me heartbeat. Yeah. Pirates are big in my house.
Yeah, do you know that Monday before last was Pirate Day?
I think I did hear something about that. Every day's pirate day in my house.
Your matey day.
Okay, cool. We'll come on to that in a bit. It was a listener request. We do encourage listeners to email us in at podcast@liveinthepresent.co.uk if there's anything troubling you or worrying you or just stuff you'd think would benefit our audience. Send us an email, say hello, and we'll stick it in the queue and get around to talking about it, won't we?
We will.
Generally, we do. What have you been up to, Sean? How's life?
The studio is finished, so I'm a happy man. Everything's done.
And even with all the naysaying from my side.
With all the naysaying.
This is going to be a good case study, actually, for this show. How Sean got his studio done with Ed. Constantly saying, you'll never finish it.
No, we're there.
Yeah.
So it's good. Everything's done, so the work now begins.
Okay. Is it going to be warm enough up there in winter too?
Oh, it's going to be toasty.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a naked studio in the northwest. Yeah,
yeah, I've been busy too. I'm hopefully getting a new office sorted very shortly.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe even by the time this episode gets out. I need somewhere a bit close. I've been in Liverpool for about a year and a half. Been good fun.
Yeah.
Getting the train over, or cycling to the station, getting the train, but I need something a bit closer to home, so I'm getting something down Birkenhead way.
Will you be able to cycle there from your place?
I certainly will, whether I do. Yeah. No, I'm going to have to plan.
Mm.
It's a bit of a... Well, the road that I need to go down is quite a busy one, down Borough Road. I'm going to be petitioning...
I wonder if there is some kind of back ways you can get there.
Oh, there certainly are. It just depends how much it's going to add on to my mileage descent time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going to petition World Council because they need some more cycle lanes on the busy roads.
They do.
Looking forward to getting stuck in and on the side of the water and meeting some new businesses, and it's a pretty cool little space. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm sure I'll be putting pictures on there of where it is, because it's quite a quirky little spot I've got. So yeah, watch this space.
I should be down there.
Yeah, definitely, we'll be recording there every now and again, hopefully as well.
Yeah, well, I know the place because there's a guitar place that I use under there to service my guitars.
Your guitar, I'll see if I can get you a deal.
Yeah, it's good.
Right, we're talking this week about naysayers are not pirate naysayers.
Yeah, me hearty.
You'll never do it, me hearty. Because we've had a listener email in who's kind of embarking on a bit of a career change, and getting there, making progress, but still struggling with the little people or the people who just have a quiet word in his ear saying, you know, that's a tricky line of work to get into. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Better the devil you know.
So I'm wondering initially why, because I've had this in, you know, little projects I've tried to get off the ground that I haven't, or that haven't worked out. Why do we kind of give more priority, or why are the negative voices, why are they louder than the positive ones in our life?
I don't think that it's true across the world. I think different parts of the world tend to respond differently.
Okay.
You know, and it is that joke about the Americans say to us, every day and every way I'm getting better and better, and we all go, and want to vomit. But if you live that world where you have a positive voice as an inner voice, then positive things happen.
Yeah.
I love listening to a bunch of Brits. You know, you're in a pub or you're in a bus shelter or something, you listen to a bunch of Brits talking, because the negative dominance is huge. I mean, in psychospeak, we'd say that kind of mental chatter, that mental rumination that goes on inside you, is probably, when it's researched, about 70% negative. You know, in Britain.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's that thing about, where, you know, you tread in the cow pat. What do you say? Do you beat yourself up for being an idiot, or do you praise the Lord for giving you this lesson in life so that you don't do it again?
Certainly.
You do all the time.
I do it, yeah. I'm always cursing. I'm reasonably blaming you. At what stage in our lives do we learn? Because some people are more naturally positive. But
I think that if your parents are negative, then you learn negative voices and negative thoughts, and you learn all those negative processes about, oh no. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm running this little experiment on my two lads at the moment to see which trajectory they will take. Generally, I'm just quite sarcastic with them, so it's really hard to tell.
So they're going to be humiliated.
Yeah.
It's good business psychotherapy for the future.
Yeah, but you know, every now and again, I'll ask one, like William, to be fair, Jacob can't really talk yet, so. He's getting there, you know, ask him to do something or this, that, and he say he can't. And if I ever hear that word, that the C word, you know, I'll take issue with that, and I'll have him, I'll sit him down and say, listen, lad, listen, I will. Let me tell you a story about your Uncle Sean. You know, I'm trying to get it into his head earlier, that, you know, that word shouldn't be used, really.
Shouldn't, worst word in the world.
Yeah.
All should, must and can't, all need to go.
Yeah, but then I was thinking as well, you know, we've had the whole in the news recently, grammar school debate up for grabs as well, and I live about a quarter of a mile from a grammar school that I went to, and will in 6 years, which is a bit scary, will do this take this test called the 11 plus.
Yep.
And at that stage in his life, you know, that's when it can split, can't it? Because either you're an achiever and you go to the grammar school, or you're not and you go to the whatever the local comp, which are the good schools, but you at that point you kind of suddenly look down on a little bit in some ways.
Well, one of the problems can be, though, that if you have a negative dominance in your internal voices, even if you go to Oxford or Cambridge, you can still have a really rough time because you convince yourself that everything's bad.
Yeah.
So, yes, you might be in Oxford, but then it might be, oh, yeah, but I don't deserve to be here. You know, that kind of negativity, which is fed out all the time. And you will hear people that, despite... I'm taking
your
shoes
right there.
Off.
What's going on here?
I'm wiggling my toes. if you get people that have that negative dominance, it doesn't matter what's going on, they will always see it negatively. You know, the sunshine and they're looking for a cloud.
OK, so moving on then. These people that are clearly having a word in our listeners' ear.
Yeah.
What do all our listeners need to be doing?
Well, no, the thing is, and this is the bit that's important, this is the learned bit, which you can relearn, which is what we know about mindfulness and neuropsychology. You can relearn if you want to.
Yeah.
Is that if your inner voice is a negative dominant voice and people feed you negatively dominant messages, you accept them, you take them on board because they resonate with what's going on in your mind already. Yeah. If you're a positively dominated ruminator, so that the things that are going on in your head, your chatter is predominantly positive,
yep.
then if someone gives you a negative message, you think, nah, that doesn't fit with me. So you discount it.
Right.
Yeah. So if you find yourself listening to and taking on negative messages from other people, you have to look to yourself and change what's going on inside your head so that you don't take it on board. Okay. What's that thing out of the Bible? Take the mote out of your own eye before taking the splinter out of someone else's, or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, actually.
It's a log,
and
a splinter. Yeah. Yeah. But you have to attend to yourself. There's going to be something that happens in Western society where mindfulness, it would be called other things, but mindfulness will become such a big issue that the excuses will go. It's like we already know that with mindfulness you can reduce medication hugely. You can eliminate it. If you get people to walk 5K a day and to do mindful meditation, most people eliminate their medication altogether, which includes things like blood pressure medication. Very often diabetics will resolve their situation. You know, it's like across the board, huge amounts of stuff. And as in our society, we bite more and more out of the welfare state into the private sector, and people have to fund things themselves. Going for a trot in the evening for 5K will be a lot easier than
for £5,000 or for five.
Yeah,
it's quite expensive. Yeah,
I'd walk for 5K. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Big changes are coming.
From that point of view, we have to become aware of what we're thinking and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you're quite slim, aren't you? Do you do any exercise other than cycling to the station? Or is cycling to the station enough?
I'm just quite fortunate. That's my metabolism, I guess.
Your dad's quite slim too, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He does a lot of cycling, but he's always been slim.
Genetically, you might be there. Most people over the next kind of 5 years of your life start to get bigger.
I know.
You know what I mean? And then they fill right out.
I need to be a little bit wary, I guess. I've never been over 9.5 stone. That's
Metabolic change is happening kind of mid-30s usually, and people start to expand.
I'm 35 in like 3 months, so it's about to begin.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's around this time starts.
No, I guess I'm quite fortunate. I've got quite high cholesterol, so I do keep an eye on things from a dietary point of view.
But from a genetic point of view, you've got high cholesterol.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do.
One thing is that we don't know. In that, people go on about cholesterol, but we don't know the real implications of genetic high cholesterol, because people have lived for it for generations. It doesn't mean that it's as bad as people would maybe make it out to be.
Interesting topic, but for another day. We talk about quite a lot on the course about surrounding yourself with positive people, and in some cases, cutting off negative people completely from your...
Well, we had Alex, didn't we, the other day on the podcast, and she was saying that once she'd got into the whole idea of living in the present and mindfulness, that she changed her life. She changed people that just had that negative naysayer voice in her life. She got them out. She it was like removing teeth, wasn't it? She pulled them.
Episode went down really well. I can't remember. It was 169, 170, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Alex Latimer. Check it out, because she's quite an example. But I'm just going to be the contrarian slightly. When you are embarking on any kind of technical challenge or change in your life, do you need a little bit of, not negativity, but the other side of like certain realities explained to you, just so you kind of know what challenges might be afoot?
But that's being informed, isn't it? That's not necessarily being negative.
Okay.
You know,
down to you to take the negative bit on board and filter it, because there will be some advice within that negativity that maybe is worthwhile.
Yeah. I think that...
Just sieve out the rubbish from it and say, oh, okay, yeah, I actually need to be... Maybe I need to learn that and something new, and that's...
Yeah. The bit you got to watch is, you know, over there, there'll be dragons. It's that kind of thing. You know, don't change, stay the way you are.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to be different. It's all those kinds of messages.
Yeah.
You know, people from our family don't do that.
Mm.
You know, people from around here don't get degrees. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Why do you want to be different?
For sure.
Yeah. And a lot of naysaying is built out of fear. And it's the fear of people moving away. We want people to stay the same. People hate change. People hate development. You know, if you go and do that, then you will leave us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe there is...
It's fear on their part more than...
Yeah.
Perhaps, well, trying to give genuine advice. It's like, oh, don't leave me, basically is what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't be different.
Yeah.
Don't let's all be the same, then we all belong together.
Yeah. There's an article I'm going to link to in the show notes on personalexcellence.co about naysayers, and it's a chap... I'm not sure it's a chap or a lady that's written it. But yeah, when this person decided to quit their regular day job in 2008 to pursue my passion, and then she's written this article about naysayers and how to cut them out. So I would suggest you have a little read. But there's eight little tidbits and bits of advice that they recommend. Things like, one of which is cutting out the naysayers entirely from your life, if possible, which isn't always.
Mm-hmm.
Doable. Mm. It's like, I don't know, your brother or your dad or your mum.
Yeah. But the thing is that if the voice inside your head becomes positive, you can allow people's negative dominance to wash over you
right. Without
sticking. And that's where our responsibility can be. Yes, it's easier if you haven't got them in your life, but if you have got to put up with them, you need to keep focusing on the positive dominance in you.
Yeah, and it says here, you can kind of learn how to tune out from certain things.
Yeah.
They say so. Yeah, it's quite an interesting little article. Another one I found as well, 7 strategies for dealing with negative people on entrepreneur.com. Again, a really good one to have a little look through. Avoiding complainers, weed out negative employees, blah, blah, choose your battles. I guess in certain sense, in terms of choosing your battles, how you react to that negative person as well.
Mm.
It's quite important. I mean, I'm guessing when you do get negative advice, well, from this point of view, people, you're just taking it on board, you're not kind of fighting back. Was there ever in a case when you could not fight back but kind of immediately counter it by saying, hang on a minute, I think that's terrible?
It depends, because if you're going against the naysaying of your group or your family,
yeah,
you just alienate yourself even more.
Mm.
And back to kind of things like law of allowing acceptance, allowing other people to have that point of view. They may not be allowing you to have your point of view, but if you allow them to have your point of view, you don't feed the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and very often when change is involved, it's only when you go and do something and do it for real that people learn that it's actually okay.
Right.
They were fearful of it in the first place, but once you've done it, then that's all right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's important as well, I guess, to kind of keep your eye on the prize in terms of the actual end goal.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, in terms of visualization, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And always kind of, because it's quite easy when you kind of embarking on when I'm doing like a business goal or something, I've got an idea I've had, to kind of go off track and not remember what it is that I'm trying to get to.
Mm.
That daily visualization, isn't it?
Mm.
Is it John Assaraf?
Yeah, he has the storyboard.
He's the visualization guy, isn't
he? Yeah. Which is really, really powerful. A picture tells 1,000 words kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But a negative picture tells 1,000 words too.
Mm.
And the thing is that when someone describes something to you, as in you shouldn't do that because, you see that as pictures in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the pictures that are the things that need to change. Because the pictures and that internal dominance of negativity or positivity run together.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah. And it is that thing about someone can't bully you without your permission. Someone can't create negativity for you without your permission. It's like what we're saying is that if the internal voices reflect what's being pushed at you, you will accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By changing yourself, you change the way you hear what's around you. And how many times have people said to us in doing the Live in the Present work, that their first experience is that one of realising how negative other people are in just listening to them talk.
Mm-hmm.
And people that won't go into the grub room, the food room in where they work, because they can't cope with the negativity. They go out and have a sandwich in the car because they just don't want to sit in there and listen to that kind of negative, backbiting, gossiping kind of way of being.
Yeah.
You know.
It's everywhere, isn't it?
But that idea that, as a bit of Psychology Today, it's suggesting that 70% of that chatter is negative.
Mm.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
No.
You know, but we can each have a personal responsibility in making sure that our chatter is positive. And if we hear ourselves doing negative internal chatter, is reframing it into a positive frame.
Yeah.
No.
There are so many. It's important also to keep reading up and learning from. I mean, every. There's so many case studies we could point to in terms of, you know, people that have kept on going and going and going and going and finally cracked it, whether it be, you know, inventing the light bulb or the iPhone or this plumbing microphone that we use. I bet the person that created this thing that we use every week to record, you know, they at some point they were a 10-year-old kid with a little, or an 18-year-old kid with an idea that's something they wanted to do in their life, and they were either encouraged or they weren't, or, you know, they managed to get there in the end.
Yep.
I assume they're doing all right now because they sell a lot of these things.
Yeah.
But everything you see around you has been created, hasn't it? And has been created by someone that probably had a decent number of naysayers saying, oh, you can't do that.
Have you ever seen roof trusses? You know, when they the frame for a roof? And they used to make joints in the wood. Right? But now they have what's called a pressed steel nail, which is like a plate that's had lots of bits pushed out of it. So it's like a big sort of brush almost, which is the nail heads, and they're banged in either side and it becomes the joint. Have you seen them?
No.
I mean, they've done them for years. But the person who invented them was a kid who was something like 14 and came up with this crazy idea that if you got a metal plate and made it into a multiple nail and you did one either side, it would become a joint. And everybody did that to him. And he must now be a kind of a multi-millionaire from the idea and the patent for doing it. But such a clever, simple idea.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, no.
You just got to keep ploughing on, haven't you?
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a million and one examples we could point to. What's your resource, Sean?
I'm going back to The Secret. And the reason I'm going back to The Secret is because there's a bit at the beginning where they show you the different teachers, and you've got John Asraf and stuff like that, and there's the guy whose name I can't remember, but whose face I can see, so I apologise to him. but he goes, thoughts become things.
Yeah,
with his finger. You know the guy I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? And that phrase is the most powerful phrase I've ever heard in any form of psychology. Mm. Thoughts become things. It's the things you think about, you bring about. That is such a powerful concept, and it sums up so much of where all of us are. Yeah, what you think about you.
I couldn't envisage him saying it now.
Yeah, with the fingers. Yeah, thoughts become things.
Because they build up to it for ages, don't they? These three, these three in words. Yeah, and it nails it.
Yeah.
I need to watch that again, actually.
But that is that's creating this internal dominance. Is our internal dominance positive or negative?
Mm.
What are we doing with it?
Yeah.
And the issues of its choices, we can learn, we can be different. Yeah, but we don't have to allow other people's negative voices to resonate with our inner voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, being clear about who you are, what you want. You know, and that thing about what do you really, 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 really want? Because if you can focus on that and forget the naysayers, you'll get there. You'll get what you want.
That to it.
Yeah.
Cool. My resource is, I've mentioned it ages ago, actually, it's called fizzle.co website. Yep. It's in like, it basically teaches you how to become an online digital entrepreneur.
Yep.
And turn that little business idea you've had into something tangible. So it's got brilliant online courses. I think you can join for $1 for a month and try everything, basically. And then I think it's about $30 a month thereafter. But there's a forum you can get involved in. It's a real hands-on type thing. The couple of guys that head it up are superb, good fun. So, yeah, check out fizzle.co.
Sounds good.
Cool. Right. Next week we're talking about something we had decided, but I've forgotten. It's late. I'm tired.
You've got father syndrome.
Can you tell? Oh my god! Yeah.
We were talking about a couple. We were talking about maybe doing one on anxiety.
Yeah, I can't remember. I've got an email here. This is embarrassing.
So, honestly,
I'm going to listen to it.
At your age.
Yeah, no, it's gone. I can't even read my emails. I'm too tired. It's going to be a cracker, though.
Yes, I can tell you've cracked
I'll be
already.
Refreshed. I'll be refreshed.
I think we should start doing this as a visual. You should see, ladies and gentlemen, you should see Edward at this moment.
I've got to drive home as well.
He's about to fall asleep.
Yeah, but no, if there's anything you would like us to discuss, please do send us a message via the website. And don't forget, on the website, if you put your email address in one of the boxes, we'll send you weekly alerts as soon as the podcasts come online, and you get some free meditation files as well.
Yep.
Which will help you on your journey, will they not, Sean?
They will indeed. And there's going to be more now that the studio is finished.
There is going to be more. We keep promising it, but there is. We're having a
don't get into your naysayer.
Yeah, that is the record. There's nothing else, folks. There's nothing coming.
Get out of here.
Right, Sean, you have a good week.
And you.
See you later, everybody.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.